monthly movie event, KBOO at the Clinton. This month, on October 9th, KBOO will host a screening of The U.S. vs. John Lennon, a 2006 documentary film about John Lennon and his transformation from Beatle to anti-war activist and the repression he faced because of his political activities. That's KBOO at the Clinton with The U.S. vs. John Lennon on Thursday, October 9th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
In Cascadia. Today is Thursday, September 25th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. And again, thanks for everyone who showed up at the annual meeting, the election of the KBOO new members of the board of directors supporting this kind of programming is all about connections between people and the nature and quality. Sometimes it's not even the numbers, it's the quality of the connections between us it contributes to the whole character of a radio station, and this radio station has an abundance of character and an abundance of connections. That's why we are a community of like-minded souls. We have, I finally get to say this breaking news. Well, you know, this just in. Five Lynn defenders were arrested yesterday morning at the construction site. This is in Utah, and this is Tar Sands Resistance in Utah. Rise up. At the site of U.S. oil sands, they actually have, they didn't even bother to greenwash this. They just call it U.S. oil sands, Tar Sands Strip Mine in Utah. The Canadian company called U.S. oil sands, of course, what else? Company's 32,000 acre lease holdings on state managed land in the Book Cliffs on the east. The East Tavaputs Plateau. Though the land is traditional Ute land and lies within Indian country with sections of the Tar Sands Project straddling the boundary of the Uita and Ure Reservation. So that puts it clearly out of play as far as oil exploration and exploitation are concerned. It shouldn't even be in question. Nonetheless, if it is, and it has been mined extensively, it is pretty much reduced to nothing. Currently, the land defenders, including the media team, are being held on Class A trespassing charges. The total bail is over $10,000. One of those arrested is a trans woman. At this time, we're unsure if she is being held in solitary or if she's being housed with the male population in Utah. You can imagine what that must be like. Neither situation is acceptable, and the Tarzan's Resistance Rise is extremely concerned about the dangers that she might be facing. We're going to be speaking now with Jill Merritt with Tarzan's Resistance in Utah. Good morning, Jill. Thanks so much for being with us at the rather last minute. Thanks again.
Good morning.
Good morning. So this was another one of many such instances of direct action. What you are doing out there in Utah is indeed having an effect. I think we can safely say that. What happened, though, yesterday, and is the arrestee, who is a trans woman, is she all right?
Well, unfortunately, I don't have new news about that at the moment. I did get word from the mother of one of the people arrested, and who let us know exactly who was being held, and Danny is indeed one of the people. It's a concern. Utah has not complied with the requirement to address this issue at the moment, and so I think it's kind of in the hands of those local authorities as to whether they would treat Danny with some respect.
You think this is an extraordinary thing to happen in the first place, because it always, and especially in these times, it takes a great deal of courage and commitment to take this kind of action, especially if the risks are for an activist are arguably much greater in some instances than in others. That said, I want to ask you then about how this got rolling in the first place. First, we have a Canadian company who's engaging in these environmentally very, very seriously hazardous activities, and they're doing it on land which is should be protected, should not be part of U.S. jurisdiction. It's a Canadian company on land which is surrounded by the rest of the U.S., but which is, in fact, belongs to indigenous people. We've been talking about indigenous people all week, but so again, this is a big question for us.
Yes, this turned out to be something of new news for us a month or so ago, when it was discovered that indeed they are occupying Ute land as they proceed with this tar sands mining.
I think we've got Jessica Lee on the line too. Maybe we can bring her on to join the conversation about this.
Oh, wonderful. She'll know a lot more.
Well, no, I'm very grateful to you for joining us. This is extremely last minute. I just got the Earth First press release this morning and wanted to get in touch. So is Jessica, do we have Jessica on the line as well?
Yes, I am right here.
Good morning, Jessica. Thank you for being with us today. We're in Portland. We have a bunch of different headlines here, but this is breaking news. This is important, and it affects all of our lives. I want to ask you about this. Just this happens. People are being arrested in Utah, protecting what's left of land that is being utterly desecrated, despoiled by this mining activities. You've been doing this for a very long time. How can it be legal? Let's go back to the beginnings. How are they allowed to do this in the first place?
That's a really great question, and it's actually something that we and other folks have been asking for the last several years. Ultimately, the state of Utah is on a mission to what they see as reclaiming federally managed lands, basically anything within the state boundary, they say that the state should have jurisdiction. But ultimately what that means, and if you look historically at especially CITLA, which is the state agency that leased off this land, specifically the U.S. oil sands and all the other state lands, the state really has very little regulation. They have very little oversight to any of these extraction projects. They require little to no permitting. The permits that are actually given have very little mandates as far as what the companies are supposed to do with, say, their wastewater or even their waste chemicals. So as far as legality, I mean, the state of Utah wants to be a drill baby drill state. That is what they want. And what we and other people are doing is, you know, screaming at the top of our lungs, why are we turning this region into a sacrifice zone? And, you know, the legality of all of these things, we've had lawsuit after lawsuit, and even the Utah Supreme Court threw out a suit that the group Living Rivers had filed earlier this year with extensive studies done by the University of Utah Geology Department about the groundwater systems in this area of the East Tavaputs Plateau. And even though there was all of this scientific data, which the state has refused to look at, the Utah Supreme Court threw out the case without even looking at that data. And they're telling us that it's because the suit was not filed in a 30-day period, a public comment period, but there never was a public comment period. So, I mean, the legality of all of this is just baffling.
What about indigenous people? Isn't this a tribal, shouldn't this land be under tribal jurisdiction anyway?
Absolutely. And that is really our stand on this, is that traditionally these lands are Ute lands. These lands were stolen through murder and genocide. And these lands are now, quote unquote, under state jurisdiction. But we still consider them to be tribal lands. We as campaigners and also as individuals who are involved in this. As far as, again, the legality of this goes, the very interesting thing, which I think Jill was speaking about, is that the EPA found out that U.S. Oil Sands project, several of the parcels that they leased, actually straddle the boundary of the Uinta Inuit Reservation. They're actually on the reservation, which requires an entirely new slew of permitting to take place. But of course, the company has not spoken to the EPA. Of course, the company has spent this entire summer clear-cutting a football-sized field of beautiful, beautiful sage and aspen groves, and has been completely destroyed this for their processing plant. Nothing has stopped them, and the state, of course, is not stopping them either. You know, the very interesting thing about EPA is that often they themselves do not have the funds or the means or even the personnel to actually enforce the permits that they themselves issue, and it's often left up to the public and people's groups to actually do that enforcing for them, and they do that through engaging in direct action through lawsuits, and so that is part of the reason why we are out here.
And the idea I want to ask you this too is how this is a huge leaseholding we're talking about, 32,000 acres, and in a beautiful country. And now they've got a processing plant in there. I'm thinking about the roads, the waste, all of the peripheral damage done to a fragile environment by a citing something of this kind in the middle of, indigenous land property. It seems that where does the waste go? These types of operations generate huge amounts of where do the tailings and so forth go?
Exactly. And U.S. Oil Sands is saying, but our project is different. It's not like what's happening up in Athabasca, which is a blatant lie. they are going to have a waste tailings pond. They will have waste product. When they use the word reclamation, reclamation means that the land is still destroyed, but they're going to try to put it back and fail. It does not mean that things are going to be restored pristinely to what they were before, because ultimately these lands can never be restored after this clear cutting and strip mining happens. And again, the state of Utah has not required the company to actually do anything as far as their waste.
Hang on, hold that thought for just a moment, because I know that our listeners stand in solidarity with you. We're out of time right now, though. If you can just give our listeners the sources to go to find out more and to do what they can to support your efforts there.
Of course, yes. If anybody would like to get involved, particularly today, as we are trying to bail out our friends who are currently in Vernal in the Uinta County Jail, they can visit tarsandsresist.org as well as peacefuluprising.org. And there's contact information there if you want to email us. You can also read about these projects and also see what we've been doing all summer long.
Thank you so much for that. My guests have been Jill, and also Jill's last name escapes me at the moment, and Jessica Lee also joins us with Tar Sands Resistance. And thanks go out, of course, to Earth First for the press release. This has been Cascadia for Thursday, September 25th, 2014. Bergeron engineered the show today for us. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Today on Flashpoints, war in Syria. The U.S. and ISIS partners in overthrowing the Assad government. Also a special report from the United Nations as Obama chairs the U.N. Security Council, pushing his expanding war in the Middle East. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned.